Online Trading Academy is a leader in investing and stock trading education. Sign up for a class today to learn proven strategies on how to trade smarter. Text Cairo to 57682 and register for a free workshop in Bellevue and other surrounding areas. Text Cairo to 57682.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from Carter Subaru Studios and streaming on Facebook Live. Welcome to The Big Show. Some people just don't want to talk to me, Ursula. Remember a few weeks ago, I was saying, I'm in this weird place where everybody wants to come on The Big Show.
Yes. So who rejected you today?
Now nobody wants to talk to me anymore. It kind of ebbs and flows is what I'm discovering.
Well, maybe they're just busy. It's sunny out. They just have too much to do.
Maybe that's it. And it's Nicole's job to get the guests.
Also, let's clarify. It's one person that doesn't want
to
come on the show.
No, it's the entire Seattle City Council.
Well, they haven't
which
wanted
is just
to come on the show
riddled
for
with corruption. And jeez. I want to talk with them about how corrupt they are and how they've all sold their soul to Beelzebub.
Yeah, I wonder why they won't come on.
I have no idea. So I want to talk to everybody on the Seattle City Council. There are just lots and lots of people that I want to talk to. And do you remember when I had that writer from The Stranger on?
Yes.
3-4 weeks ago?
Yes. That was a great interview.
So here's somebody that I probably haven't agreed with anything she's written, and she hasn't agreed with anything I've had to say. But I like getting people who have divergent viewpoints on the show, and she and I had a very nice little conversation.
And I think you're a lot nicer to them when you actually interview them.
Yeah, but now
I mean, you're
I'm
tough. But I think I think if I were someone who was targeted by you, I would be like, I'm going to get on the show.
I'm respectful.
I think you're very
of people's
respectful.
Time.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm respect. There's nothing more important in any of our lives than time, and so I do try to be somewhat respectful of people's time. And secondly, I truly do like to try to get inside the brains of people who think differently, because I think our region is going to hell right now.
You do. So who are you trying to get today?
Let me get right to our top story.
The Big Lead, top story.
So I saw a story in the Sunday Seattle Times about this woman. She's a Microsoft executive. I'm not even going to say her name because there's no point. I mentioned it yesterday, and it was just a little throwaway. Today's sign, it was the last 2 minutes of the show yesterday. But there was a story in the Times about how this woman, after Trump was elected, cried herself to sleep every night. And I thought, that's fascinating to me. Because she is now leading what she says is a women's movement in the 8th district, and they want to make sure a Democrat gets Dave Reichert's seat. And so, but that was kind of the launch point, was the presidential election. And I didn't like Obama's presidency, but I would never cry. I cry over anything. I'm the most emotional person on earth, but I've never cried over anything political because there's no point in it. I get ticked off.
But was your issue that she cried?
I think that,
I'm going to guarantee you she wasn't the only one crying.
I'll tell you what I wanted to find out. And these are the questions I wanted to ask if this woman, who is leading a local political movement. But like I said, it was just the last 2 minutes of the show. I shorthanded it. And so let me pull up my Twitter account here. So after the show yesterday, she wrote to me and she said, "Hey, Dory, I heard you were making fun of me on your show. Did you cry when you had to get your appendix out? You know, have a normal response to pain? Well, I didn't need a therapy dog after Trump, just a brand new grassroots women-led movement to save our country." And I thought, well, that's a fair game response. If I said what I said on the radio, she says that on Twitter, I can take it. I'm a big boy. I say a lot of things about a lot of people, and I'd be awfully thin-skinned if I didn't, if I didn't like somebody saying that about me. Now, I don't know if I would make fun of somebody's medical emergency, but it's fair game. Somebody wants to make fun of my medical emergency. That's absolutely fine.
Well, she could have pointed out, too, that you are the first one to say that you cry over a lot of things.
I cry over everything.
Yes.
As a matter of fact. Yes. And so I very nicely, and because I only say nice things on Twitter. That's the only way that I interact with people. And so I invited her to come on the show today. And I said lots of great local issues to discuss. Because, you know, she's at the vanguard of this, you know, big liberal movement in the 8th District. And then I didn't hear back from her, and so I wrote again. I said, hey, in case you missed my offer from a few hours ago, I'm repeating my sincere invitation to come on and discuss important local issues Wednesday. My producer will also reach out in the morning. P.S. Good one about my appendix surgery. Hope to talk to you Wednesday.
And I'm not laughing about your surgery. No. I'm just laughing at your response.
I always try to keep things, as the kids say, on a positive tip.
Yes.
On Twitter. So, and it is. You know, if somebody wants to make fun of it. Now, the therapy dog thing, there's a dog walked through the hospital. I love dogs. I hugged it. I said, oh, I needed a therapy dog because I was so sad. I was joking. I don't think she was joking about crying after Trump. Anyway, here's what I wanted to ask. And this is where it gets to what I think is a tremendously important local issue. Oh, let me say something else, too, before I get to all of that. So then the people who are part of this this movement, this progressive movement on the East Side, they started tweeting at me. And, you know, like, leave it to Monson to go after a women's movement. Like I'm some misogynist because I don't think the way they do politically, apparently. And, you know, and I'd like to find out, do you just have some stereotype of everybody who differs from you politically? Because, you know, I could tell you about the fact that my wife and I are going to celebrate our 31st anniversary in 2 months, and that I have three strong young women that we've raised in their 20s, and that I've coached a generation of girls in the high school who are now doing phenomenal things in their lives. I've been pretty active in trying to be really productive with a lot of young women in our community and certainly in my family. But I got a lot of those tweets from people who are part of leave it to Dory Monson to make fun of a strong, compassionate woman fighting for all Americans, which is fine, too. If they want to just think that I'm some caricature and stereotype because I'm not a typical, you know, Puget Sound area liberal, they can think that. But I'd like to have the conversation. You can't do that on Twitter. You have to have a holistic conversation.
Yeah, it's too.
That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, so and she just said flat out, no, never?
She just said, no, thank you. She was polite in her declination of the offer. And so anyway, let me get to my point for crying out loud, if I could only get out of my own way. So here's what I wanted to find out. Do people like that cry over the fact that the mayor of Seattle was likely a child rapist? And I really mean this sincerely. And if people in that movement want to answer that, do you cry over the little girls who are getting raped in these homeless encampments that have sprouted because of political policy around here? Do you cry for the little girls who, the 13, 14-year-old girls who have been sold out for sex so that heroin-addicted pimps can collect a little cash to feed their addiction? I just want to know, where does the crying end? Does it stop with Trump? Because, look, for this woman, you and I have some common ground. I didn't vote for Trump because I didn't like what he said about women on the Access Hollywood tape. And I said then and there, I get ticked off at stuff like that with Trump. I get ticked off when the mayor of Seattle is a child rapist accused. I get ticked off when little girls are being raped in homeless encampments that are not just tolerated, but they are enabled by local political policy. I don't care if somebody's D or R or whatever their political persuasion is. Right is right and wrong is wrong. But for so many people around here, it seems like right is left and right is wrong. What? And right is, yeah. Anything left? No, wait, let me rephrase that. Left is right and right is wrong. And they talk, they don't, where are the tears for what's happening in these encampments? Where are the tears for Delvon Heckard, who had a life of addiction after being, you know, raped by Ed Murray as a child? And we just found out a couple days ago that he died of an overdose a month ago. I just want to know if people have this kind of tears for everything or if it's only for one side of the political spectrum.
And when you say people, you're just saying this particular person. Because to assume that just because they're supporting this particular movement doesn't mean that they aren't crying tears for what, you know, Mayor Ed Murray allegedly did when he decades ago. Or
I'm going to disagree with you because and I thought about this because I wanted to I really do. I actually think about what I'm going to say on the radio. And I was thinking about
that. I know.
Yeah. And I was thinking about how broad a brush are we talking about here? Sally Bagshaw, as the Seattle Times detailed, worked feverishly behind the scenes to try to keep Ed Murray in office when the evidence was overwhelming that he was a child rapist. She remains on the Seattle City Council. There are members of Ed Murray's staff who not only enabled him, but they continued to victimize his victims by calling them liars, by calling them part of a anti-gay conspiracy. They are now on Jenny Durkin's staff. And the voters of this region, you know, nobody's recalled Sally Bagshaw for trying to keep a child rapist in office, accused child rapist. Nobody is putting pressure on Jenny Durkin, who has several six-figure salary people who worked for Ed Murray and worked to cover up, enable, and continually victimize his alleged victims. And I put that on the voters of this region. I think that they tolerate the remnants of a child rapist for political reasons. And so I'm not just talking about this one person, Ursula. I'm talking about the people of this region who are okay with current political structure. And I don't even know if I'll have time, but the corruption of Mike O'Brien and Rob Johnson and the lies that they tell, that nobody seems to care as long as it's their party that's doing it. And we're talking about child rape in some of these cases. And people don't care about child rape if it's a Democrat doing the raping, allegedly. And that's what I have so much trouble with. But again.
And I think that statement is just really, I feel going way too far.
There are people who were outraged the last time I saw that.
And I was one of them.
I know. But until they start leading the recall for Sally Bagshaw, until people start demanding truthfulness and not abject lies from Mike O'Brien, Kshama Sawant, and Rob Johnson, and all the rest of them, they are with their silence. And by the way, this is the first thing all of these people in this movement say about Trump and his supporters. That's the first thing they say, that you are supporting a misogynist, you're supporting whatever horrible things they assign to Trump. That's the first thing they say, is that the Trump supporters are the problem. The Trump supporters are the evil ones. They're the ones who put him in office. They're the ones who are okay with him being in office. And yet they, at a local level, tolerate things that are far worse than what their boogeyman allegedly did.
I would agree. There's a lot of hypocrisy and too much simplicity.
Wouldn't this been a good conversation if she had come on the air with me?
Yes!
And that's all I'm talking about.
And I don't even know who she is. Who are we even talking about?
It's Chris something. She's a Microsoft program manager, and she's leading this movement. But on the other level, I get why people don't want to come on, because what I just said, there's no reasonable, rational response to it. There really isn't. That people will cry themselves to sleep over a presidential election and ignore what's happening in drug encampments all around the King County, Puget Sound area. To me, there is zero explanation for that. For me, I'll get ticked off when Trump talks about grabbing a woman's genitals, and I'll declare on the air that day that I won't vote for him. And I'll get ticked off when I hear about girls getting raped in homeless encampments, and when I hear about little boys getting raped by the mayor of Seattle, allegedly. All of that ticks me off. I don't care what their party is. And I'll give an open invitation to the leader of this women's 8th district movement. I want to know, where do your tears end, and at what point do we accept and with our silence enable the cesspool of local government? Do you think she'll come on now? Do you think I've sold the show appearance?
I'm not thinking anytime soon.
But I've telegraphed everything that I want to talk about.
I mean,
if I had blindsided her without all that, there'd be no response possible because the human condition cannot provide a consistent answer to what I just asked. But now that I've telegraphed everything I'm going to ask, she could fashion and she could go to some focus groups.
There you go.
Her answers to my questions.
Before she comes on the show.
Yeah. So there you go, Chris. You can go and focus group this with your party strategists and explain to me how you cry yourself to sleep over Trump every night, but your eyes remain dry with what's happened in our region, with the drug encampments. And I know the 8th District ain't Seattle, and maybe that's your focus. You know, because the region is my focus. I talk very little about national issues on this show. This is a local show, and I talk about local issues. And I know the 8th District isn't in Seattle, but I was looking at the 8th District map. You know, Duval. I mean, it's just there are homeless encampments all around the 8th District, and there are little girls getting raped. So heroin addicts can get cash for their addiction. And I just want to know, do you cry yourself to sleep over that, or is it only Trump? That's what I wanted to ask. That's why I invited her to come on the show today. And by the way, let me say, and I don't want any of my listeners, don't send anything negative to this person, because this is a free country and people are free to decline my invitation to come on the show. I think it's good and healthy and productive, and I reach out all the time to people who differ from me on issues and disagree with me on issues. I do it all the time, and some have the guts to come on and some decline for whatever reason. It's not necessarily gutlessness. I'm not going to ascribe that because I don't know her. You know, just like her supporters are trying to paint me as some misogynist. And there are a lot of things you can say about me and disagreeing with me on issues, but misogynist is a pretty tough one to stick on me. So anyway, open invitation to the leader of this progressive women's movement over on the east side. Open invitation to come on the show. I'd love to hash all of this out with you. And open invitation to every Seattle City Council member about what's going on in our city, in our region. Basically, I'm just open. You know, come on. Well, within reason. We don't want random nuts. Okay, I didn't expect to go this long, but I'm passionate about all of this because I hate seeing what's happened to our region. That there is your Big Lead.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
Man, what is going on with all the crime and assaults in downtown Seattle around the King County Courthouse? But is the solution just throwing more money at it? I'll talk with a King County Council member about that next, after Ursula checks the news on the Dory Monson Show. Hey, thanks for listening to the Dory Monson Show podcast, brought to you by Industrious Office. If you are on the search for your business's next home, there's simply no hotter place in the country than downtown Seattle right now. I went on a tour with Emily at Industrious Office. It's an amazing workspace right on 6th and Lenora in the heart of all that Seattle has to offer. Visit industriousoffice.com/Cairo or call Emily to schedule a tour. Mention Cairo, receive your first month lease for free.
Hey there, you're listening to Dory. Did you know that your customers do too? Why don't you advertise here? Give me a call and I'll help you out. Tina Sorensen, General Sales Manager for Cairo Radio, 206-726-6819.
Well, we got the news yesterday that things have gotten so bad around the King County Courthouse. There have been dozens and dozens of jurors and just other citizens trying to do county business who are getting assaulted because of how rampant the tents and the homeless encampments are around the courthouse. And the police have essentially said, there's nothing we can do about it. We had those sound bites yesterday. King County Councilman Pete Von Reichbauer is one of the people who has to walk past all of this every single day, and he joins us here on Cairo Radio. Hey, Pete, good to talk to you this afternoon.
Hey, good to talk to you, Dory.
How bad's it gotten there around the courthouse?
Well, the courthouse should be the center of civilization for a county, but there's no more dangerous part of the city of Seattle or King County than the area between the City Hall of Seattle and the King County Courthouse during the daytime. Private citizens walking around the streets get accosted. Last year, our 6 foot, 5 foot inch sheriff had someone chase him down with scissors, and he had a gun.
Yeah.
What happens to the average citizen?
No, it's bad. And, we hear about the jungle as a homeless encampment, but I've heard from so many of my listeners, Pete, and you know that I'm a Seattle native. I'm born and raised in this city. I have never seen it so bad, and feels like so much of downtown is devolving into a jungle.
Well, again, this courthouse should be the one place where everybody can come to and feel safe because it's the center of justice. Right now, our courthouse area is ground zero. If you think it looks bad, it also smells bad because the people that are there use it as a public bathroom.
Oh, of course. Well, not only that, but I reported a few months ago that just out of contempt for the public, there were homeless people throwing feces on pedestrians just trying to walk to work down below. I mean, it really is an unbelievable scene down there. Okay, so go ahead.
Animals have taken control of the streets. And at some stage, we at the courthouse cannot control the streets. That's the city of Seattle. We are trying to improve the situation inside our doors to protect our jurors. We have jurors, Dory, that are being paid $10 a day.
Right.
They deserve hazard pay on top of that.
Yeah. No,
we had jurors accosted while in action, walking out for lunch, attacked on the streets.
Well, our news desk talked with SPD yesterday, and here's what Captain Thomas Mahaffey told us.
Yeah, the tent situation is very frustrating. We have a lot of administrative rules we have to follow where I get a lot of frustration from citizens where they call 911 the same type of complaint. My officers go out, but because of the rules regarding encampments that we are bound to follow, right? They're administrative rules. Maybe they don't line up with city ordinance and law, but that's what we have to follow.
So that's SPD, Pete, saying that essentially they can't do anything about it. Their hands are tied.
City Hall sets policy. If the people in this city, in this county want to change, they better change elected officials. Because as I read through the lines of what the captain said, there's state laws, there's city laws, but we're being governed by the administrative changes by the city council.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Okay, so then I see a proposal from you. You said, hey, let's sell the courthouse. Somebody's developer can convert it into condos, and let's build a new King County building a few blocks away. And you know I like you, Pete, and we go back a long way. But I read that, and I thought, is that the solution to everything? Let's just spend hundreds of millions of dollars?
It's a secondary issue. First of all, the reason I brought that up is we were given last year a proposal for $300 million renovation of the King County Courthouse because they have to go in and change the HVAC plumbing and make the courtrooms different. And I said, enough is enough. This is a black hole. Let's not put the money in here anymore. I'd rather invest that money into a administration building that combines King County administrative offices and the courthouse across the street. We own that property. So this is not a new idea. Last year, I proposed that we seriously consider a campus that is and take the money we make by selling the courthouse to either Right Runstad, Urban Vision, or one of the large corporations seriously considering renovating and turning that into condos.
Okay, why in the world would you keep King County Administration if you were going to do something like that? Why would you keep it in downtown Seattle? Why not just take it somewhere else in the county that's safer?
You and I are 100% in agreement. We better change the state law. The state law says every county in the state of Washington, the courthouse has to be in the largest city in that county.
Is Seattle the county seat? I've forgotten my county governance from way back when. Okay.
Same thing in Pierce County. Tacoma is the seat. Everett is a seat.
Okay.
The state law declares that you have to have the county seat in the largest city in your county.
Okay, but look, I mean, let's get to the immediate issue. This is an emergency problem. People are getting assaulted. The cops are depolicing. The prosecutors have de facto legalized drug use. You have a city council that wants to provide a government-sponsored heroin death den. Where does this stop? And when do we start reclaiming the city we love?
When Dory Monson runs for mayor.
No, that's never going to happen, Pete.
Listen, Dory, if we got to change the culture by changing elected officials, we have people today who are enabling the problem. You can't complain about bees when you put out honey that attracts the bees. We've got to change the culture here. We've created a beehive that's attracting people up and down the coast to come to Seattle because everything is free.
Did you see what happened Did you see what happened in San Francisco 2 days ago? Their mayor said, we've had it with tents on the sidewalk. We've offered help to everybody who wants help, but we're not going to allow tents on the sidewalk anymore. In Los Angeles, three nights ago, there was a rally because a 35-year-old man was out to dinner with his wife and little girl, and a homeless guy walked into the restaurant, randomly picked this guy, and murdered him in front of his wife and daughter. The people of L.A. and San Francisco are starting to say, we've had enough, and they're cracking down, and Seattle continues to go in the wrong direction. I am appalled at what I'm seeing around here, Pete.
Yeah. I was born at Swedish Hospital probably decades before you were born in Seattle. The city that I grew up with, that I was born in, is totally different from the city that I grew up with. We've got to change the culture by changing elected officials. Look in front of City Hall today. For over 15 years, there is a full block that's empty. As you know, you walk by on 3rd and 4th Avenue, there is the site of the former public safety building. They have not done anything with it. It sits empty. I'd rather take those tents off the streets and put them in that area. That is a full city block. If you're going to have them, put them in one area where they can be protected and return the streets to the public, taxpayers, who paid for them.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer the pendulum can swing to the left, but we got to pull it back to the middle at some point.
Don't give up the fight, man. Do not give up the fight.
Oh, believe me, this is the fight of my professional career, Pete. I care deeply about this, and I'm sickened by what I'm seeing happening, not just in Seattle, but throughout the Puget Sound region here. So I'm glad you're out there fighting the fight as well. I appreciate it.
Hey, good health to you, and thank you.
Okay, King County Councilman Pete Von Reichbauer joining us. I'd love to hear your thoughts on all this. You can text me at 98973 or email us. Go to mynorthwest.com, the Dory Monson Show page. Much more straight ahead here on the Dory Monson Show. When I say I will talk with pretty much anybody in local leadership on my show, I include every member of the Seattle City Council on that list. And I would love, and we've stopped inviting other than my on-air invitation because they just not only wouldn't say no, they just wouldn't respond when Nicole would reach out. But, man, there are some things going on with the city right now that I would love to try to hash out because I do think the city council, and this is a regional issue. We'll talk in the fastest 15, but our friends at Cairo 7, they did a story last night, and they talked to business economic leaders who say the decisions by the Seattle City Council are going to affect all of Western Washington and the entire state. Because if Albertsons and Safeway leave Seattle, they're not going to relocate across the lake. They will likely get out of Washington. And the companies that are being driven out by this crazy business head tax for labor unions and drug addicts that the Seattle City Council has proposed, it's going to have an economic ripple. And there will be an economic downturn. I hope it's down the road. But when there is, Seattle will suffer more than almost any city in the country because businesses are right now on a wafer-thin margin because of all these crazy policies. And you know, if you know anything about history in this region, when there was a Boeing bust, and I think it was more than 40,000 people who were laid off at Boeing back in the early 70s, and this was a ghost town economically. Now, we're more diverse. We're not as dependent on one business, although Amazon is getting into that behemoth category that Boeing enjoyed 45 years ago. But the economic ripple effect for everybody in our region is going to be pretty significant. Anyway, the people who are running things around here, Mike O'Brien, when he had that community meeting, and one of the citizens talked about how the independent consultant, Barbara Poppy, that Seattle hired to say, why are we spending $200 million a year in Seattle and King County and homelessness is getting worse and worse? And she said, well, because you're making no effort to turn their lives around. You're just spending money, basically.
Completely ignored. We spent $200,000 on that study. She literally said, don't do this. And everyone's like, that, we're going to do it.
So Barbara Poppy has said, has changed her attitude and said, we actually think emergency sanctioned encampments are our interim solution. So, I mean, I have data, but every time I bring up data, you say, that's not the right data. So,
because nobody has the data. You just said you don't have the data with you.
Do you want me to show
you? I would love a copy of all the data.
Okay, that's Mike O'Brien, who told the citizens, Barbara Poppy's changed her tune, and she says she now supports these homeless encampments. So one of them wrote to Barbara Poppy and says, hey, Mike O'Brien said you changed your tune. And it was a flat-out lie. He didn't like that he was being cornered by citizens. And so Mike O'Brien just, you know, spits out a lie about, the homeless encampments are working. And Mike O'Brien, he sent an email to that woman, Erica, who's been on my show a couple of times now. And he said that somebody told him that Poppy had changed her opinion. And he said, now that I know, I won't mischaracterize it any longer. Mischaracterize? You told something that was just patently untrue. Because you want homeless encampments, and the people who study these things say they don't work. They don't work. None of these people are moving from the encampments into a self-sufficient life. They just become wards of the state, which is what Mike O'Brien wants. So Mike O'Brien lies about Barbara Poppy. Yesterday, we broke the news about a different Seattle City Councilman, Rob Johnson, who wants to take out parking, put in bike lanes on a major north-south street in Seattle, 35th Avenue. 68% of the citizens are opposed. Rob Johnson pretended like he didn't know anything about it. And the guest I had yesterday, and I've got all this linked up on my blog. We have hyperlinks to the public disclosure email and text records that prove Rob Johnson knew a year and a half ago that his constituents were overwhelmingly opposed to this project. But now he said, oh, we're too far along, so we're just going to do it anyway. Here's the guest I had on yesterday, a guy named Gabe Galinda, who's a lawyer who works in that area.
I spoke to Rob Johnson on February 7th, and he made a comment to me that the opposition to the reconfiguration of 35th Avenue was only articulated late, meaning by late 2017.
Okay.
Well, I've done through public records research to realize that Rob Johnson was fully aware by December of 16 and January of 17, according to SDOT, emails and text messages.
And again, I have those emails and text messages linked up on my blog right now. You can see them. Rob Johnson knew about it a year and a half ago. He lied because he has been bought and paid for by this, these special interests that want bike lanes. We got some bad people running things. I'll keep chronicling it. Fast 15 next.